Right, amen. And we're in the 100th Psalm here because today I want to preach about music, okay? And in particular, the music ministry of a church is what I'd like to preach about. Before I get going with the sermon, I'm going to come clean with you straight away about my motives for this sermon, okay? My goal of this sermon is to inspire people to want to serve God through music, okay? That's my goal. I want to inspire the church, people that are here, maybe people that are further afield and can't come all the time, but maybe want to start serving God, to want to serve God through music. We're nearly 3.5 years on as a church, and if Jamie's ill, which he has been a bit recently, we're a bit stuffed for the live music, okay? And that's, you know, and there's a few reasons for that, and I'd like to change that going forward. It might take a little while, but my plan is to have this church here for a long time to come. So with that in mind, this might be a long-term plan, but it's also a short-term plan as well, as you're going to see as we go through this. So my goal, there's a few goals here, and ultimately that's the main goal. My goal is for the musicians here, and I bet there are some musicians in this church, some secret ones, okay, those further afield watching. My goal is for the musicians here to be convicted to serve, to want to serve through music. I know you're out there, okay? You're out there. I'm going to be watching some eyes as I preach through this as well and see if I can get any giveaways to approach people after the service. My goal is for the non-musicians here to be convicted to become musicians to serve, okay? That's what I'd like to happen as well. You don't have to have been playing the xylophone as a baby perfectly to be able to play music when you're older, okay? My goal also is for the parents here to be convicted to train their children into musicians to serve. Okay, so I'd like that to happen over the years as well, ideally from this. And it is a great ministry, not just for adults, I would say also for teens as well. Okay, it's a great ministry for teens. And when you go to other churches, you might see some teens often in a music team as well, in a music ministry. And also my goal is for the children here to be convicted to be willing trainee musicians as well, to eventually serve in the music team. And the question is, kids, do you want to serve God? And it's a great way to be serving God from early, from young. There's ultimately, you could go as big as you like with a music team, okay? So it's a great way to be able to serve God if maybe you're not, maybe just for whatever reason, maybe not because you're not able, but you're just not in one of the other positions, the other jobs, the other parts of a church's rotor of jobs, okay? So basically today, I want to impress upon you the importance of the music ministry and what an honour it is to be a part of. Verse 1, there in Psalm 100, it's a psalm of praise, and it said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And the title of my sermon this morning is The Church Music Ministry. I'd like to pray before I get started with it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, music, Lord, the gift of being able to make a joyful noise, Lord. But ultimately, that joyful noise is to be made to you. Help us to be convicted about that today, to want to be a part of that, Lord. Help everyone here to take the music ministry seriously and importantly, and to be inspired to want to be a part of that, to want to help it, to at least want to pray for it, Lord. And every single one of us here, being a congregational singer, are part of this music ministry in this church, Lord. So help us to all just really pay attention to this sermon, and also maybe apply parts of it to other parts of serving you as well, Lord. And fill me with your spirit as I preach this, please. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so like I said, we're in Psalm 100, okay? Now, this psalm for me just gives a great outline for this topic as well. So let's just read it quickly again. Psalm 100 said from verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." We're looking at the church music ministry today, and point number one, okay, the music ministry is a command, okay? The music ministry is a command, okay? Verse 1 said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Okay, so in verse 1, God through the psalmist, he didn't say, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, those of you with willing musicians." Okay, he said, "All ye lands." He said, whether you're in the middle of nowhere or you have a musical instrument store or in every town, make a joyful noise. Okay, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When is that joyful noise to be made? Well, there is no restriction. You can make a joyful noise to the Lord at any time of the day, in any place. In verse 2, he gives us a particular time when it is important. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Okay? Now turn to Colossians 3, because just like in the Old Testament, when God's children come to the house of God, he wants us to praise him with music. Okay, it's the same as in the Old Testament. He wants us to praise him with music. Psalm 81:1, while you're turning to Colossians 3, Psalm 81:1 says, it's to the chief musician upon Gittith, the psalm of Asaph, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. We're told to sing aloud. We're told to make a joyful noise time and time again. It's an instruction. It's a command. Okay, in Colossians 3, instructing the New Testament Colossian church through the Apostle Paul, God said this, and above all things, in verse 14, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So Paul said to the church to teach and admonish, which is to warn, to caution each other, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but it's done by singing unto the Lord. Okay, so it's one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we're teaching and admonishing by singing to the Lord. So, for example, otherwise, you know, people would get this wrong. They would take this wrong. It's not that we're here to sing a hymn, for example, directed at so-and-so. You know, it's like, right, for example, just because he's right near me, Brother Jack's got an issue, and then we all like sing a hymn. It's like, Jack, you got to quit the whatever. You got to give it. Yeah, that's not what he's talking about. We're teaching, admonishing one another, but by singing unto the Lord. So an example I thought of, just because... I think because we sung it recently at a men's private preaching night, in trust and obey, okay? One of the verses in the first verse, in fact, says, when we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. So when you're singing that line of that hymn, you're basically teaching and admonishing one another, but ultimately we're singing to God, aren't we? So we're singing to God, we're teaching and admonishing one another, we're singing to God about God, but it teaches and admonishes at the same time, okay? So they're singing, just singing to God. It's not just some empty words. There's a point to what we're doing, right? We're singing to God. We're praising him. We're thanking him. It said, and whatsoever ye do, in verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay, so we're obeying the command to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's a command. It's something we're told to do. That's a command of God. And it's a bit hard to do sitting at home on YouTube, isn't it? Okay, that's a bit hard to do, to sing, to teach and admonishing one another. That's a bit difficult, isn't it? A big part of being a Christian is worshipping God. Yep. Yeah, we need to be preaching the gospel as well. But a big part of being a Christian, a big part of what he wants of us is for us to come and worship him, okay, to worship God. And a big part of worshiping God is in song. You can't escape that. That's how he wants it done, okay? That's how he's wanted it done from early on in the Old Testament through to the New Testament, to worship God in song, okay? That's how God likes it. Turn to Psalm 98. He wants worshiping in song, and that should include instruments where possible. Because there are churches out there, you might have heard of these types of churches, that claim that we shouldn't use instruments because we don't see them specifically mentioned in the New Testament. So there are these kind of types of churches out there. I'm trying to remember their name. I think they call themselves like traditional Baptists or something, that claim that there shouldn't be any instruments. I might have got that wrong, the name of them. However, we don't see them forbidden either, do we? Anyone see musical instruments forbidden in the New Testament? No. And we do see, for example, harps being played in heaven in Revelation chapter 14. You're not going to turn there, but we see the harps being played in Revelation 14. So I have a hard time to believe that they're outlawed for this period of time without even being told that they're outlawed. Okay, that for me is reading into the text something that's not there. Without being told, by the way, as well, maybe we would need to be warned that these tons of psalms, of which we're going to see some of them today, are telling us to worship on a variety of instruments, are now null and void. Okay, so that for me is a large stretch and it's just false. Okay, look at Psalm 98 where you are. Psalm 98 verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song,
For he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's a command, isn't it? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So if you stand in church, just a side note here, if you stand in church whispering the hymns, you're disobeying this command, aren't you? He said, make a loud noise. He said, make a loud noise. So if you're standing there and your mouth is moving because you want to look like you're singing, but I better not really make any noise, well, you're already disobeying. Okay, and you're out of God's will with that straight away. Now, just a caveat on that. Please don't sing loudly if you don't know the hymn. I sometimes have done that before. Or sometimes I'm singing loudly and then I'm kind of doing something else quickly and trying to sort something before a part of the service and then I'm singing the wrong words and it's... I know it hurts the music leaders. They pretend it doesn't, but it does, okay? So, so obviously, make sure you know it if you're going to sing loudly, okay? But you should get to know them pretty quickly, but we should be singing loudly, okay? Obviously, it should be a joyful noise, okay? It wouldn't be a joyful noise if you're singing it loudly. It's completely off, yeah? And you're singing the wrong words. But it should be a loud noise full of joy in the Lord, shouldn't it? Okay, so the loud noise, see, if you're whispering and you're not really saying, you're just like this, well, you're not making a joyful noise. You're not making a loud noise and you're out of God's will there, okay? Now, the singing is accompanied, though, by instruments. Have a look at this in verse 5. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. Now, we're singing with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Now, the cornet being a horn of some kind, and just before any of the knee-jerk types say, right, look, burn the piano, okay, get rid of everything else, smash that guitar up over there, okay, as you'll see as we go through this, the point is a multitude of different instruments. So we keep seeing just different instruments. It's just, it's a multitude of instruments. Okay, it's make a joyful noise with a multitude of instruments. In verse 5 to 6, the command was to sing with instruments. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets, the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Now, go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry, okay? Point number one was a pretty obvious point. The music ministry is a command, okay? Point number two, the music ministry should make a joyful noise. The music ministry should make a joyful noise. Psalm 100 said in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And first and foremost, okay, that music should be joyous. We should be singing with joy, shouldn't we? When we're singing to the Lord, we have the ability to sing to God. He's listening to us. We're praising him. We're singing about not just salvation, many of the other wonderful things about the Lord. We should be doing that with joy, shouldn't we? Okay, there should be joy in our voices, joy in our hearts, really joy on our face. Again, you don't have to fake this and start being weird, you know, like some of these weird churches. You're like, praise the Lord and everything else. Okay, it doesn't have to be as silly as that, but there should, if you're singing loudly, it's because there's some joy coming out. If you're just down here and you're like murmuring, not really saying anything, you're clearly not joyous. Okay, you're not, what we're being told to do here is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But you could also say, okay, that it should be a noise that's joyful to the Lord, shouldn't it? So the noise that we make in this church should be joyful to the Lord. So you could be so full of joy yourself, but if you were singing words that were offensive to God, you're not making a joyful noise unto the Lord, are you? So if we were singing just rank heresy here, we were just singing damnable heresy, we're like, oh, well, this hymn, Victory in Jesus, sounds nice. We were talking about this morning. It's got a lovely tune to it. I like the tune, yeah? It's a catchy tune, but it's got damnable heresy. And when I repented of my sins, I won the victory, yeah? And talking about salvation. That's not making a joyful noise. I think God's listening to that false doctrine put around everywhere and going, oh, well, you know, this is a wonderful, I'm just loving this. And you could think of many other types of damnable heresy that could be included in hymns and stuff. So obviously what we sing is important, okay? But you could argue as well with that as well. Would all of God's people really have genuine joy if they were doubting what they were singing? So can you really sing with joy in your heart if you're kind of singing and you're thinking, I don't know about these words are a bit off here. I don't know, is that really hinting or pushing or projecting some sort of work salvation or some sort of other weird damnable heresy? Now, turn to Romans 12. So, of course, the words that we sing are important, okay? You'll turn to Romans 12. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how am I worshipping him in spirit and in truth if I'm singing some empty, just generic words that could equally apply to my spouse, for example, in my heart, or to someone's, let's be honest, a lot of what seems to be contemporary Christian music is almost identical to what people are singing about their girlfriends or boyfriends in their fornicating lives in the world, right? You know, things like, you know, your love means more to me than, you know, it's just like, it's empty nonsense, okay? It's nonsense. All of that contemporary junk, it's empty. It's not, they're not worshipping him in spirit and truth, okay? That's also not teaching and admonishing one another as well. Singing, you know, just repeating the name Jesus for, you know, five stanzas or something, or just, you know, that sort of stuff, just empty stuff, empty generic stuff, which could equally apply to a love song. That to me is a teaching, admonishing one another. It's not worshipping God in spirit and in truth. All it is really is Christians trying to sound like the world, isn't it? That's what you see out there. That's what, and again, some people might not have ever been in a church like this or never heard this sort of stuff. But if you've been in those sorts of places, you've ever stepped foot, some maybe their background is more kind of, it is better hymns for maybe some sort of old Church of England type church. At least they usually sing some fairly doctrinally sound hymns, usually, okay? But there's also a lot of these contemporary Pentecostally, you know, contemporary Baptist type places where it's just complete empty nonsense, okay? And they're trying to sound like the world. They're being influenced by the world. They're being influenced basically by their worldly minds. Romans 12 says this in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you think trying to sound like Elton John, for example, is what God had in mind here when he wrote this? You know, trying to sound like some sort of sodomite, some sort of wicked reprobate. No, that's obviously not what he's talking about when he wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He said, and be not conformed to this world in verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, don't be conformed. And if you're wondering, what does that really mean, conformed? Made to resemble, reduced to a likeness of, made agreeable to, suited to this world. Okay, which is exactly how so many churches sound, don't they? With their worship services that are made to resemble a pop concert. They're just being conformed to this world. They're just trying to sound like the world. Okay, that's clearly their goal, clearly at least what's inspired a lot of that music in the first place. Does anyone think that it's a joyful noise to the Lord? Sounding just like, basically sounding like what was dreamt up in the dark recesses of someone like George Michael's mind. Because that's what they're conforming to, some sort of wicked, filthy, disgusting sodomite usually. What they've dreamt up in their mind and written into a song, we'll just try and sound like that. We'll just sound like the one. That'll get everyone in. They'll all love it. It's wickedness, okay? That's being conformed to this world. Is that God's good and God's good and acceptable and perfect will, as you see there in verse 2? And that's why, for example, we don't have the drum and bass here, okay? So, and I don't care what drum it is. We ain't having the drums. We're not going to have the bass. I was at a church once many years ago, an evangelical church, had a guy on the bongos. I played it, but it just sounded like the world, and you just started, you know, your head started going, everything like the world, okay? And it doesn't matter. It's like, well, at least he doesn't have a drum kit. No, he's got the bongos, okay? It just sounds like the world, the bass lines and everything else. You look at me, go, why was I in that show? I was newly saved, all right, okay? We're not trying to make the flesh tingle like it does in the bar or nightclub, okay? And I don't really care, really, how many people we would attract if we did have a band up here. Okay, nothing's going to change with that. We don't want to resemble the nightclub, the bar, the worldly music concerts. That's not what our goal is, even if, you know, that meant, oh, well, some extra people might come in. It's like, yeah, we ain't doing that because God said, and be not conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed. He also told us to make, he basically told us to make a joyful noise unto him, okay? This is the house of God, okay? It's not the house of Baal. We come here to offer reverent worship. Okay, that's why we're here, to offer reverent worship to God that's pleasing to God. Turn to Psalm 95. But with that in mind, okay, with all of that in mind, we still want our worship music here to be a joyful noise. But a joyful noise to the Lord too, okay? That's the key point here, not just to our wicked flesh, right? Psalm 95 and verse 1, Psalm 95:1. Psalm 95 and verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." So we're making a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So it has to be joyful to him as well, right? "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Now, the psalms are full of doctrine, okay, full of truth. They're not empty, vain nonsense, okay? So that's the psalms are basically a songbook, okay? And there's so much in the psalms, so much doctrine in the psalms. It's amazing, really, okay? But verse 3 says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker." Now, that's the sort of worship we're talking about, isn't it? Where it's about him. It's not about our wicked flesh being appeased. So if you're thinking, well, yeah, I mean, you know, they preach the King James there. They preach the word of God. They preach on all different subjects. However, I don't know, the music just doesn't make my flesh tingle. It doesn't make me tap my foot. You know, the music doesn't make me want to dance and stuff like that. Well, you're completely out of God's will there, all right? You've got it completely wrong, because that's not what it's about, really, okay? However, we still want to make a joyful noise and a joyful noise to him, but within the parameters that we believe is not then being conformed to this world, okay? So turn to Psalm 33. We avoid the worldly sounds. We avoid the voodoo-style drums, the strummed guitars, okay? That's something that we avoid here. Now, some churches ban guitars altogether. I personally feel that a picked guitar, as you see Jamie play with a picked guitar, I don't believe that's a worldly sound. It sounds like a harp to me, okay? But I've said, you know, and the reason we have a picked guitar and not else, because I don't want strummed guitars in this church. As long as I'm a pastor here, we won't have the strummed guitar, because I just consider it a worldly sound. And I would go further and ban all guitars, but I like the picked guitar, and I think it is similar to a harp sound. Okay, but we don't have that. We don't have the bass riffs, okay? Okay, you ain't going to get a bass riff here where it's a do-do-do-do-do as we're singing and stuff. It's just, that's not what we're going to be doing. But we still want to make it sound nice, okay? And as we grow as a church, multiple instruments will make it a more joyful noise, won't they? Just think of it this way. You know, and I like to give this example. I've given it before. When it's your birthday, maybe dad's here, mum's here, whoever really, okay? When some people get together and sing happy birthday to you, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Right? It's nice to have some people show some love for you and sing for you. That's why we like to sing happy birthday to people in this church. We're a church family together. Well, think about it when you're at home, for example, and it's your birthday, and some of your family members sing and some of them don't. And some are just like, Like, that doesn't make you feel good, does it? No, it's kind of like that with God. God's looking down at this church service, and when you're refusing to sing, for example, how does it make him feel good? Well, think of it in the same way that if you got home, dad's from work, and it was your birthday, and then the kids have all got instruments out, and they're all playing a different instrument, and they've made an orchestra to play happy birthday, you're going to be thinking, wow, this is some effort that's gone into basically showing their love for me. Now, if only one of those children is playing, great, thank you. The other ones are singing, great. But if maybe five of them are playing instruments or six of them or whatever, it's going to feel good, isn't it? Right? And that's in the same way. Look, the more instruments we get playing, it's something that, you know, at the beginning, I was just happy to have someone that could play the piano, right? But over time, I'd love to have multiple instruments. And obviously then when people are ill, when people are sick, if people leave, whatever else, we're back to the jukebox. You know, so I think it's a great thing, but I think for God, God wants to hear those instruments. That's why we see multiple instruments constantly, not just find an instrument, it's multiple instruments, okay? So we want to make it nice. We want multiple instruments. Psalm 33 says this in verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings." Now, psaltery seems to be a stringed instrument similar to a harp. And stay in Psalm 33, but 2 Samuel 6, 5 says, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals." So there's all manner of instruments there, but they're playing a joyful noise unto the Lord, okay? So it's not so much the instrument as how it's played, like my example with the guitar, for example, right? Again, not played in a worldly way. He said in verse 3, "Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So it's about putting the time and effort into making it a joyful noise unto the Lord. And obviously, if it's something that you get inspired by the sermon and you think, yeah, I'd like to serve the Lord in music, this is clearly a massive part of worshipping God, yeah? And it's something that we're sadly at this point in time, we don't, you know, we're lacking, okay, in this church. And you think, yeah, I'd like to do that. Obviously, the idea is to put some time and effort into it. It should be playing skillfully with a loud noise, okay? But don't be put off if you're thinking, well, I'm not like a complete pro musician, because again, it's better to make a noise, right? Okay, than no noise at all, right? But obviously, the goal is to play skillfully with a loud noise. That comes from time and effort. See, you don't have, like I said, you don't have to play the xylophone in your crib when you were a baby and everyone's going, wow, they're such a musician to be able to play music. Do you know what ultimately it takes to be able to play music? It's just effort. Time, effort, and discipline. It's like anything in life. You could have some skill, but if you don't put the time and effort into it, then you're not going to be able to play, okay? It just takes time, and it's putting time into wanting to worship God and praise God in the right way, okay? Now, we're leading on to the next point, though, which is, go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church ministry, okay? Point number one, the music ministry is a command. Point number two, the music ministry should make a joyful noise. And point number three, the music ministry is serving God. Okay, the music ministry is serving God. Okay, Psalm 100 said in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. So serving God is something that we're all required to do. Everyone here. If you're saved, you're required to serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12, you don't have to turn there, says, and now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? What does he require? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So we're required to do that. Do we all do that? No. Should we all do that? Yes. We're required to serve the Lord our God, okay? And for some, they might have put their heart and soul into another part of the ministry. Maybe they put their heart and soul into another way of serving the Lord. But for most, there are areas where they could choose to serve God or choose not to. And most people, it's not that their life is full up with serving God. Most people, it comes down to choice, doesn't it? Where do I want to serve God? In what way would I like to? In what way would I not like to? Turn to 1 Chronicles. Now, of course, there are also those that have the ability to serve God and don't serve him at all, or very little, in very, very small ways. And then there are those that do serve God in many ways, and maybe serve him in ways that maybe isn't so good, or maybe they're not so... maybe not so made for, you know? And maybe for some, look, maybe music doesn't come naturally to them. Maybe they could serve him in other ways more effectively, but maybe for some music would, or maybe for some they have the discipline, the ability to just keep practicing and get to that point. And when it comes to music, okay, I believe just many, and it might just be something that, you know, maybe there's a few reasons for that, because some church, of course it takes time with the church as well. But some churches you just see in some places where there's just, look, people are basically auditioning and wanting to be part of a music team and don't maybe cut it. And then in other places, not so. Maybe part of that might be YouTube kind of Christianity, kind of as a start for many people here. You know, maybe they were following online and stuff like that. And ultimately that usually ends up just being sermons, doesn't it? And this is kind of maybe forgotten. It goes out of your mind a little bit that so much of church. I mean, what do we have? We have four hymns here and an instrumental while the offering's going on. Somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes, probably on average, of a service which goes up to about an hour and a half. You're talking somewhere between a quarter and a third of our service is music. It's a big part of our service, isn't it? Okay, and it's something that everyone pretty much has the ability to be able to serve in. But so many people, and probably my fault as well, I haven't really preached it before. I haven't really kind of tried to convict people of that before. So it's something that I'd like to change, okay? Many maybe just like I said, don't see that or don't think about that. And it does require time and effort, okay? It requires discipline. It requires commitment to services as well. So there's no point, oh, well, I just spend all my time practicing at home, but I come once a month to church. Well, you're not really going to be able to be an effective part of the music ministry. But Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? This is what I just read to you. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So we should be looking and finding ways that we could serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul. In 1 Chronicles 16, okay, they bought the ark from Kirjath-Jearim. Did you turn to 1 Chronicles 16? Yeah. Kirjath-Jearim. So they bought the ark of God, okay, they set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, verse 1, we are here, and they offered burnt sacrifice and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, do you think this is just a few Levites that got the short straw maybe? Oh, those poor guys. They had to do it. Well, the other ones had fun chopping people up and stuff like that. Nothing to see here. Just some kind of random guys, whatever. That was just quickly mentioned. Well, these are serving men here whose names have gone down in eternity. Okay, these men here that chose to serve the Lord, or at least were, no, maybe whether they chose or not, they were given that opportunity, that ability, they were given that job to serve the Lord, to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Well, look at verse 5. We see their names, Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obededom, and Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And it's Psalm 105, but you're not going to turn there. That firstly is what we see read here. And it says in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Another command there, it's about singing to him, singing psalms unto him. Now, it then goes into Psalm 96 after that, but jump forward to verse 37, where it said, so he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. And Obededom with their brethren, 78, Obededom also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosea to be porters, and Zadok the priest, and his brethren the priest, before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering, continually morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them Heman, and Jeduthun, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And with them Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God, and the sons of Jeduthun were porters, and all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. So where were they all expressed by name? Do you notice it said in verse 41, the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name? Well, it seems to be maybe in a couple of places, but back in 1 Chronicles 6, it says this. You can turn if you want to, but I'm just going to quote two verses. It says, and these are they, this is 1 Chronicles 6 of verse 31, and these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest, and they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and then they wait on the office according to their order. So this is then followed by a long list of musicians. Why? Because it's such an important part of serving God. Okay, the list we see in many places talk about these musicians. These are great men of God. These are famous men. These are men whose names have been read for eternity, will be read for eternity, and have been read for the last, you know, at least the Old Testament here, 3,500 years odd. We've been reading, people who have been reading the Bible have been reading about these men, okay, who serve the Lord through music. Because it's not just some people that fancy playing an instrument, okay? They're putting time and effort into, like I said, what is over a quarter of our church service, okay? And it requires some dedication, some commitment. They're part of the teaching and admonishing of us all, okay? People that are playing instruments in a church, the praise and worship of God his way, they're a part of all of that. They help us to be filled with the Spirit as well, by the way. According to Ephesians 5:19, by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, that's how one of the ways that we're filled with the Spirit as well. Okay, for the service, during the service, for the preaching and everything else. They could be the difference as well, by the way, between you people who don't understand staying or not. Because there are people that do come in and sadly will be looking to appeal to the flesh, but at least if the noise is a joyful noise, if it is played skillfully, if there are quite a few people playing instruments, it might appease those people that don't really understand for a while and don't understand that ultimately it's the word of God is the most important thing, but it is going to be something that is going to probably make people stay and sadly will make people leave as well. Some people, they are looking for... And the music is a big part of it, OK? However, obviously, if you're going to go to one of these clown churches around the corner because the music's better while they preach out of a false Bible and preach a load of nonsense, well, you know, in a way, it might be better off. But there could be people just new to it, right? They don't really understand. The music ministry is serving God, OK? Which leads on to the next point. So go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry. Number one, the music ministry is a command. Number two, the music ministry should make a joyful noise. Number three, the music ministry is serving God. And number four, the music ministry should be done happily, okay? The music ministry should be done happily, okay? Psalm 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So as much as I'm hoping to inspire people with this sermon, okay, I don't want to encourage resentful service in this area, whether it's in the short term or in the long term, okay? Serving the Lord in any capacity should be a positive, shouldn't it? Okay, if you have the opportunity, the ability to serve God, what a great thing, right? It's a blessing. Whether you're sweeping the front step outside the front of the church or spending many hours practicing hymns, we should serve the Lord with gladness. Okay, whatever you do for the Lord, what a great thing it is. You should do that with gladness. Psalm 84, 10, you don't have to turn there, says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So whatever we do, if you're given the opportunity, the ability, you're given a job to do it at this church, you should do it with gladness, okay? Turn to James chapter 5. Now, this is more the case, though, when it comes to such a key part of our worship, though. Even more so, I would say. But my point is, okay, parents, don't force your kids to reluctantly play, for example, in our church in the future, okay? Don't be a resentful server, anyone here, okay? Whether it's kids growing up or anyone else. Don't do that, okay? No one wants to resent. There's nothing worse, is there, than a resentful serve. You go anywhere where there's sort of someone serving you in one way or another and they're resentful about it, doesn't it wind you up? Okay? It's horrible. And you just, what are you doing? Why are you even doing this in the first place if you're going to be resentful about it? People do that a lot of the time in many areas. Can you imagine if I just constantly got up here and I was just, right, ready for another sermon, took me hours. You probably don't care. You know? After a while, you'd be like, what is that? It would make you feel lousy as well, wouldn't you, you know? And so you don't want to see resentment when people are serving you. And obviously, that's the same with the music. If we were, you know, if 10 years' time and we got a load of people sitting there just like, you know, sorry, picking. Well, they're playing the piano and they're just, you know, and then, you know, it finishes and it's like, got to learn another one. You know, you'd just be like, what? You know, it just ruin everyone's sort of spirit and everything else. So we don't want that. But we're meant to be making a joyful noise, okay? And rather than a bitter one. And James 5:13 says this. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And I would say, not only should that be when you're playing music as well, okay, that God's saying, look, if you're merry, if you're happy, it's a good time to be singing, to be worshipping, to be praising, because we should be making a joyful noise to him. But I would say that also goes for everyone who joins the music ministry every time they open their mouths to sing a hymn in this church, okay? It should be something that you're doing merrily. You should be happy to be singing, happy to be praising God, whether it's your favourite hymn or not. Whether it's a hymn that you're like, oh, it doesn't make me sound that good, this one. Who cares, yeah? You should just be enjoying it. Find a way to enjoy it. Turn to 1 Chronicles 13, okay? To see the correct attitude when it comes to serving God in any capacity. Whether you're volunteering or not, whether it's soul winning or a set job like ushering, whether you're playing an instrument or singing in church, okay? In 1 Chronicles 13, it says this in verse 7. 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 7. Now, I appreciate this. A bit of a study, a lot of Bible turning, but hopefully, you know, you're going to see a lot of these points backed up by the word of God today. 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 7, it says, and they carried the ark of God in a new court out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, this is verse 8, and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. Notice that said that they played before God with all their might. They put all their effort into it. They put maximum effort into serving God in that area, okay? And that's something that we should have on our hearts with every way we serve God. It should be maximum effort, doing the best job we possibly can, yeah? Go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry. Number one, the church or the music ministry is a command. Number two, the music ministry should make a joyful noise. Number three, the music ministry is serving God. Number four, the music ministry should be done happily. And point number five, the music ministry's focus is congregational singing. Okay, the music ministry's focus is congregational singing. Okay, Psalm 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So all ye lands are told to make a joyful noise, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come before his presence with singing. Okay, turn to Psalm 150. Now, Colossians 3:16 said this. You'll turn to Psalm 150. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Remember, he's talking to the church here. He's saying to teach and admonish one another with that singing. Psalm 98:4 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Okay, Psalm 150, where you are, says it like this. Praise ye the Lord. This is the last psalm, okay? Finishing the book of Psalms. How does it finish? Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So if you've got breath, which I'm assuming is everyone here, some of the guys, it's some bad breath. No, I'm kidding, okay? We've all got breath, okay? Our focus here is for us all to sing, okay? For everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. That's what it said in verse 6, that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. We praise him with the instruments alongside helping the praise. That's the key point. Okay, so when we're talking about music for church, the point is that the music is accompanying the singing. The singing is the focus. The point is congregational singing. Our focus isn't the instruments. Okay, our focus is the words that are sung to God. And there's a key point here, because you'll notice many places where they get that wrong, and then you've got it in completely the wrong spirit, okay? Turn to Psalm 105. The music is an accompaniment to the singing. It's not the other way round. We're not singing while we just admire this great musical masterpiece by a group of people, okay? We're not looking for guitar solos. That's not what we're interested in here. It's not like, right, cut the singing. We've got a great musician now to show off his skill. Okay, pause for a second and behind the back and stuff. Like, wow, you know, that's not what it's about, okay? He said in verse 1 of Psalm 105, I give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And one way that we do that is through song. Verse 2 said, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. That's what we're doing in the singing. It's the same thing. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk of all his wondrous works. Okay, that's what we do when we sing. That's not happening if everyone is too focused on the guy with the electric guitar, okay, soloing off or who, whatever it is, okay? That's not going to be happening. We're not going to be thinking about those words and everything else. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, which is what so many psalms, hymns and spiritual songs are about, which is why our hymn book is full of hymns that are just basically remembering his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth. That's what we're doing. That's what the whole focus is. And it's for us all to praise him together, for all to worship him, but the music helps that. You don't have to turn a bit. In 1 Chronicles 15:16, it says, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. That's the goal of the instruments, to lift up the voices with joy. And it's much easier, isn't it? When it's a cappella, it's a bit harder, isn't it? Let's be honest. When it's one instrument, it's good. When it's two, three, four, five, six, it starts to get even easier to lift up your voice with joy. God hears it all, and the music and the music there. Even then, those of you that might not, you know, maybe it's harder to make a good sound. Maybe there are those that aren't blessed with being very well in tune or singing well. And I'm not trying to look for anyone here in case. Okay, I scanned. I thought, don't lock eyes with anyone here. Okay, but regardless, okay, if that's you, but there's a loud sound coming from the instruments, then it makes you feel more confident to sing, doesn't it? To sing loudly, it all goes together, but it's to accompany, to encourage us to sing by lifting up the voice with joy. That's what it's all about, okay? Go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry. Point number one, the music ministry is a command. Point number two, the music ministry should make a joyful noise. Point number three, the music ministry is serving God. Point number four, the music ministry should be done happily. Point number five, the music ministry's focus is congregational singing. Point number six, the music ministry must uplift the Lord. The music ministry must uplift the Lord. Psalm 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and a sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So it's pretty clear that when we come to worship God, it's all about him and not us, right? It's about God, it's not about us, which is why we don't have solo singers getting up to show off their so-called great voices. Okay, I'll never have someone come up here and do a solo. Never. Okay, it's completely ridiculous. It's completely so far away from what God wants. Someone standing here and going, hey, listen to how great my voice is. The whole point is that we're all singing to God and praising him, not looking and going, wow, you know how great, or maybe not, going, oh, not so great, okay, whatever, okay. It's not about them. It's not about the soloist. It's all about uplifting the Lord. That's the whole point, isn't it? It's about uplifting him. And everyone singing has to remember that too, okay? So the minute you're focusing on how you sound to others, so if you're standing there going, oh, I bet everyone can really hear this one now, or, oh, notice I've just gone off a little bit on the melody and changed a few notes here, okay? Gone a bit up and down. Okay, you've got it. You're just out of God's will there. That's not the point. The point is we're just singing the words to God and we make a joyful noise unto him. Okay, it's not about uplifting ourselves, right? And everyone singing has to remember that too. Okay, so you've got to bear that in mind. Keep that in your heart when you're singing. Okay, you're worshiping God, not yourself. You're not sitting there trying to listen to someone else. Go, do I sound better than them? You're not going, I'm louder than so-and-so, so I'm suddenly doing it. But, you know, that's not the idea. The idea is you're just worshipping God. Focus on the words. And sometimes the flesh will get in the way with that. And you've got to, like, just smash the flesh down. Just focus on the words, focus on the words, focus on singing to God. I'm singing to you, God. This is me and you singing here, you know, and obviously with everyone at the same time. Verse 3 said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So go to 2 Chronicles 7, okay, to see King David referred to as having got this concept right, okay. So this is after King David, this is in Solomon's reign, but he's being mentioned here. He got the focus right, okay. It's not about the musicians, it's not about the singers, it's about making a joyful noise to uplift our Lord and Saviour. And in 2 Chronicles 7, okay, Solomon has built the temple, the glory of the Lord is filled, it says in verse 4, and then the king and all the people offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And King Solomon, this is verse 5 now of 2 Chronicles 7, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry. So he praised God by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them all, and all Israel stood. The whole point of the music ministry is to praise the Lord. That's the whole point of it. Not to praise the person, not to uplift the person, to praise the Lord. For us to be able to praise by the music ministry. It's to praise the Lord through music and for all of us to be able to do that with the music and to help us to be able to do that by making a joyful noise unto the Lord, okay? So if we start focusing on ourselves, on our skills, our voices, on our kids' musical ability, we're going to really show them how much time our kids have put into this now, you know, or something else, we're now sharing God's praise with someone else and God doesn't like that.
You don't want to be sharing the praise. It should go to God with someone else getting the praise. It should all be about the Lord. Now, if you've got your heart right with that, you can get your kid's heart right with that, whatever else. That's great, isn't it? Because then it's like, right, okay, we've got it right. We're serving the Lord. We praise the Lord. But if in your mind already you're thinking, right, okay, how could I show my kid to be the best here? Or how could I somehow, there must be something I could play and then everyone's going to be like, you're amazing. You're wrong. You got it wrong, okay? You need to grow a bit more before you start thinking about this, okay? But hopefully, that's not anyone here. Go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry, okay? The music ministry is a command. The music ministry should make a joyful noise. The music ministry is serving God. The music ministry should be done happily. The music ministry's focus is congregational singing. The music ministry must uplift the Lord. And last one, point number 7. The music ministry is an honour. Okay, the music ministry is an honour. Psalm 100, it said in verse 5, after showing us, well, let's look from verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Look, serving God in any way is an honour, okay? It's an honour to win souls for him. It's an honour to do jobs that help make a fully functioning church. Whatever you do, whether it's you consider it menial or not, it's an honour. Okay, it's an honour. And it's a hard thing, you know, as a pastor, because, you know, especially in a small church like this, you basically have unpaid help. But on the flip side, it's such an important job. So it's hard because you don't want to be like clamping down and, you know, and telling people off and stuff like that for doing a job maybe not so well or for not putting effort into it or whatever else, not being reliable, things like that. But then on the flip side, they are serving God though. And it is an honour and it should be, you should treat it as what an honour I get the ability to be able to do that. Because most people don't even own a church to turn up to, let alone to be able to serve God through in one capacity or another doing a job for God, right? So it is an honour. It should be seen as an honour, but it's hard to get that balance right, obviously, when you're leading people with that, because you know that sadly not everyone sees it like that. They think they're doing you a favour. Well, you know, helping out the pastor with this one, it's like, no, you know, ultimately you're serving God, right? And that's an honour to be able to do that. It said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. So we serve an awesome God, don't we? What an awesome God to work for. A God that did more for us than we could ever do for him. Whatever you do, even if you commit your whole life to serving God, you know, and however you do it, you know, you just find a way to just serve God your whole life. Never do anything for anyone but yourself. Maybe you're a single person who just serves God their whole life, you know, commits their whole life to God. You still have done nothing compared with what he did for you. Not only did he die for you, he went to hell for you. Okay, he's done more than you could ever do. And what we do is a drop in the ocean, but we are still required to serve him. It's not to pay anything back. You're saved if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, it's our reasonable service, isn't it? Our reasonable service. He's different to all those idols, isn't he? He's different to all those false versions of God where you have to do stuff for them. No, the difference is that we have a servant king who died for us. He gave himself for us, right? How different is that to all the false gods of the world? So we do serve an awesome God. It said, and his truth endureth to all generations. That enduring truth. Okay, the word of God, by the way, it's talking about the preservation of God's word, really. The word of God points out what an honour it is to be so close to him. Okay, it points out what an honour it is to be serving like those music ministry Levites were serving him. That was an honour. Okay, turn to Exodus 32. Do you know what sort of men those Levites were? And in case you're wondering, they weren't the hippie musician types that you see around today. Okay, so you got images of the music team of the Levites. They were like the hippie ones or something, right? They weren't long-haired rebels singing about communist utopias or something else, okay? That's not what they were. In Exodus 32, Moses has come down from the mount, okay, to find the children of Israel worshipping the golden calf. He's the only man that broke all 10 commandments at once, okay? Smashed them, obviously, right? He force-fed them a golden calf afterwards, so he's trying to make up for breaking all the commandments at this point, okay?
Then it says in verse 26, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Okay, so remember, like, this was like outrageous. He's been up in the mount, he comes down and they've already made an idol. They're like worshipping the idol. They've already gone, oh, I don't care about him. They forced Aaron to make this. He was just an example of weak leadership here. I mean, these guys, like, you can imagine him being angry, right? So he's come down, he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And who came unto him? All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbour. Talking about those that were worshipping this golden calf. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And it was on the back of this that God chose them for the service. It was on the back of this event, them standing next to Moses on the Lord's side, that they were then selected to basically do the service of the tabernacle and everything else. And if you jump forward to Numbers 16, you'll see Moses remind them what an honour it is to serve the Lord like they had been doing and like they were able to do, okay? Now, in Numbers 16, there's this rebellion for me, okay? It's like they're envying the leadership position. And Moses, what he does, he points out to them just how bizarre it is, considering what an honour they've been given. Look at Numbers 16 and verse 8. Numbers 16, 8 says, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also? But basically he said that God brought them near to himself to do the service. And in the New Testament, we could apply that to the church service, couldn't we? He said that they stood before the congregation to minister unto them. Okay, and that's something that a church music team is basically doing. They might be sitting, but they're basically ministering to the church. They're ministering to the congregation before the Lord there, okay? They were brought near to him. And that's something, look, when you're serving God, when you're putting time and effort into serving God, you are brought near to him, okay? And when you're studying and you're studying music and practicing and everything else, and the whole time you're just singing and thinking about music, that's a great way of bringing close to God, isn't it? You're so much less likely to be having your mind poisoned by the filthy, smutty music of today when you're practicing and learning and training in hymns every day. Okay, so you're being drawn close to God with that. You're getting close to him. And that's what the music ministry of the local church is doing. What an honour. What a great thing to have the opportunity to do, isn't it? What an amazing thing to be able to do if you've got your heart right with it. Go back to Psalm 100. We're looking at the church music ministry. The music ministry is a command. The music ministry should make a joyful noise. The music ministry is serving God. The music ministry should be done happily. The music ministry's focus is congregational singing. The music ministry must uplift the Lord. The music ministry is an honour. And Psalm 100, we're going to read it through one last time, said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So after all of that, okay, if you're feeling inspired by that, but you would like to obey that command, you would like to make a joyful noise, you think you're able to put the time in to do that, okay? You're able to put some effort into that to serve God happily by helping our congregational singing, in uplifting the Lord, in what is an honour, all those points we've gone through. Here are for me, and these are just ideas I had, some instruments that would be a great addition in the future to our church. So the piano, obviously, the picked guitar, okay? Like I said, picked guitar. I ain't going to have someone strumming the guitar here. And when it's a picked guitar, ain't going to be no electric and all of that stuff, okay? And the picked guitar is like the psaltery or harp for me anyway. If you can play the harp or you fancy playing, apparently it's actually quite easy to learn the harp, so even better, right? Flute, clarinet, oboe, trumpet, horn, trombone, violin, cello. The trombone seems to be probably what the sackbut was, if you've ever read that in the Bible. And if there's anything else, if you're just sitting there going, well, what about
probably leave the recorder out if you could. Okay, I don't know if you can make a joyful noise with a recorder. But if there's anything else, you're like, well, actually, none of those, but I do play this. Come and talk to me about it. Show me what it sounds like, you know, and if it sounds good, look, I'm all for it. And if you think, well, I don't know, I don't play anything, and you think about that list or something else, and you think, actually, I wouldn't mind learning to do this, come and say to me, oh, what do you think about me learning to play this? And I'm not going to hold you to it. If you try and learn it and you think, no, it's just not coming for me, it's not working for me, I'm not able to fit it in, you know, then don't worry, you know. But like I said, let me know if there's something you think will sound nice accompanying the singing in this church. Please get involved. Please learn it. I'd like to build up this. I'd love to have that whole area fill up with musicians eventually. That's what I'd love to have. I said to my kids the other day, maybe yesterday, I said, I've got to the point where I would potentially even have bagpipes. That's the limits we got. But I was lying. This ain't no Scottish church, right? But other than the bagpipes, anyone else want to come out with instruments we might have? But no, but honestly, you know, seriously, if we can make a joyful noise, okay? And look, you know, I would love to, look, I'd love to build up the live music, you know, kind of musical instruments in this church. If you're sitting there and especially, like I said, not doesn't just have to be kids, adults as well. Look, it just means putting some time in each day, really. Put some time in to practice an instrument, to learn them. It's a great way of serving the Lord. It's great. If you think, well, I already do another job. Look, you know, right now, that's what ultimately we're lacking, that, you know, other jobs and other things, you know, in general can be covered and things in the church as a music ministry. That's something that we have a big lack for whatever reason, for probably a few reasons, you know. But there's another thing as well, just think about as well, the music ministry is an attacked ministry as well, for a reason, right? It's you know, people who are in the music ministry, in a way you could say, look, if you're gonna have maybe things, and obviously, well, look, with tribulation things you're gonna draw close to God, so don't be put off by that as well. The more we have, the harder it is to be attacked. But ultimately, you know, music is a massive part of our service, so it's something that, you know, we need to build up, right? I need to get people who are able to play instruments. I'd love to get more people involved, and you know, and with time, you know, just to be able to call on just different people, have people to be able to just step up in the future, to just have basically the best part of an orchestra. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it, right? And hopefully, you know, that might convict some people today. And if it has, and, you know, you've got any questions, any thoughts about it, please talk to me after the service. That was the church music ministry, and on that we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, you know, the fact that you make it clear how you want us to worship you, how you want us to do it, not to be conformed to this world, Lord, but to be transformed by our minds and by the renewing of our minds, and to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of yours, and to do that in all aspects of our worship service, Lord. And help us to be able to do that through music. Help us to be, you know, to be blessed with, you know, not just current musicians, but people that want to become musicians, to be able to be, you know, what part of what is such a key part of worshipping you, Lord, a key part of our service, a key part of us being taught and admonished and growing as well. And Lord, help us to improve that part of our church ministry. Help protect those that are able to play music and are able to be a part of that, and help to inspire those that maybe haven't got involved yet to just to maybe think, yeah, we'd like to be a part of that. Lord, help us to just do things in the right way here, Lord, as well, then, for it to be for the right reasons, the right motivations for everyone. Help us to as we go on our way now, to make the soul winning, to get many people saved, and to also return for this evening's service. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen.